I appreciate what Marcus had said this morning, and then also the many songs that Tyler and Summer had picked this morning to sing, because it so goes along with the words that I want to share with you today from John 17. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to John 17, I want to spend the next several weeks looking through John 17 about Jesus communicating with God, prayer, about praying. And so I'm working on and eventually want to get to the place to where the church doors here are open at a specific time for a specific period of time, so that you may come in and pray and seek God's face. You know, this, that the house of the Lord is here, and that some believers would come together and just press in and pray to God. So I want to speak about prayer for the next several weeks. But the title of today's sermon would be Roll the Stone Aside and Then Look Up to Heaven. Roll the stone aside, and then Jesus looked up to heaven. So if you're in John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, now where we are in Scripture here is that Jesus is doing a lot of talking in the book of John there in 14, 15, 16, 17, and talks about the true vine and the world's hatred and the work of the Holy Spirit, and sadness will be turned to joy. And then you have in there the Scriptures, the prayers. A lot of times it's called the prayer of Jesus to God, the prayer for the disciples, and the prayers for everyone else. And so we're going to read 1 through 5, the prayer of Jesus. John 17, 1, and after Jesus saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. And so you have here that Jesus prayed as he looked up into heaven. And that's a beautiful thing. Now, I've mentioned before about the gesture or the posture that Jesus has had in prayer. And a lot of times, I shouldn't say a lot of times, there's two times here that we're going to look at today, that as Jesus prayed, he looked up into heaven. And so there's another time where we see that Jesus looks up into heaven, and that's in John chapter 11. But the outward expression of the fervent desire of Jesus here is that he's looking up into heaven. There's other people here around him, but he stops and he puts his gaze towards heaven. He puts his gaze towards heaven. Not that Christ needed to engage his attention, but it's almost as if those around him would also recognize that even Jesus puts his focus towards God in heaven. It's like there's a significance of the lifting up of the soul to God in prayer. So if you look at John chapter 11, this is actually where Lazarus died, okay? And he was slow to get there, supposedly, so he died. And there was a great stench about the dead man Lazarus. And they were like, where you been? What's going on? Why have you come here? If you wouldn't have came, he'd already been alive. He would have never died, blah, 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 blah. And this is where the Scripture says Jesus wept, and also it says Jesus was angry. I believe that he wept and was angry because of their unbelief. Okay, and it says that multiple times in the reading here. But in John chapter 11, jumping in there in those Scriptures, in verse 38, it says Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance, and Jesus said, roll the stone aside. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days, and the smell will be terrible. There's going to be a horrendous stench. Are you sure, Jesus, you really want to roll that stone across from that terrible stench hole? Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven. Hence the title of the sermon. They rolled the stone aside. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud. Why? For the sake of all these people standing here. Why? So that they will believe that you sent me." There's three things I see from Jesus here. They rolled the stone away. Jesus first said, "Father." He recognizes the Heavenly Father. He looked up to heaven. He said, "Father, thank you." He entered into the presence of God by giving thanks. Number one, he recognized God as Father. Number two, he entered in by giving him thanks. We entered this course with praise and thanksgiving, right? And then I love the fact that he said, "You hear me, you always hear me." To me, that is the confidence that he stands on, that you and I as believers stand on, as we recognize, "Father in heaven, I enter into your presence with thanksgiving." And the confidence that we stand on is being in his presence. Like today's a perfect example. You can't deny. If you have any feeling at all within in your heart, you can't deny the presence of the Lord in this place this morning, right? And this is such a perfect example that I feel the Lord has set up, because there's a stench inside of our lives that we probably need to get lined up with the presence of the Lord. David, a man after God's own heart. David, whom Jesus came from the lineage, said in Psalms 25, "I will lift up my soul into your presence, Yahweh, O Lord." The one translation says, "I will always, always, I will lift up my soul into your presence, O Lord." And we are human, and we are made of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians tells us that now may the God of peace himself sanctify you, set you apart for a purpose, completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be present, be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk a few minutes about body, soul, and spirit. We live in a body. This is the part that unfortunately decays, gets sick, will eventually cease to function when we die. It's this tent thing we refer to as a tent, right? It is our body. The soul, a lot of times we will say heart. Heart's kind of like the connection, the soul. It's the seat of my mind, my emotions, and my will. My mind, my will, and emotion is the soul. This is the part where we think. This is the part where I have feelings. It's the part where I plan or organize. This is the part of my three parts that I stay focused or get distracted in. The soul is the one that feels pleasures or perceives hurts from others. Our soul can either be energized or de-energized. We can either be encouraged or discouraged. It's where we form our words to communicate with one another. And it's where our personalities come to life. It is in our soul that we become anxious or The opposite is we can rest peacefully, as I pray you've engaged in the presence of the Lord here this morning, of the peace that's in this house. The soul is where we worry about bad things and get all anxious and have anxiety, or it's where we meditate on good things. The Spirit. It is in our spirit that the Spirit of God comes to reside. Then we become new creations upon accepting the payment that Jesus made for our sins. When that happens, our spirit comes to life because it's finally connected to the intended power of source of power in our lives. He created us to inhabit Him. He created us to be His children. He created us for the purpose that He could put His Spirit inside of us and seal us for the day of His return. Now realize and recognize all souls and spirits go on forever after the body dies. It's just, is it life eternal or is it eternal damnation in the abyss? Both go on forever. Some say, oh, it's just a temporary burning the dross and then you will go and transfer into this other place and then on to heaven. No, it's eternal or eternal, baby. It's either up where there's life or it's down in the abyss where it says that people grind their teeth. Bitterness, the canker worm means bitterness. Can the bitterness, the grinding of the teeth, knowing they should have confessed and believed in Jesus Christ, there's going to be such anguish and torment down there, knowing that they should have made a decision. They should have chosen life. They should have invited the Spirit of life inside of them. The Bible teaches that our spirits is made perfect and sealed the moment that we've been born again. Ephesians 1 says, in Him you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now the translation says, now we have been stamped with the seal of the promise of the Holy Spirit because of the word of truth that sets us free, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, in the old days when the king would want to send a message, the way you knew that the message that was all wrapped up and had a seal around it, he had a ring with an insignia in it, and he would stamp his insignia in there. And you know when you got that message that you looked, is this really from the king or is this a setup that they really don't want to go to battle? They're setting us up. What's this message? Who's this message really from? It had a seal from the king on it. How much more beautiful is the seal of His life, His Spirit, in our lives that seal us until the day of redemption. You see, I believe when you get to the pearly gates, we have all these great words, and Peter's going to be there, and all these jokes and all this fun stuff, and some are going to nervously approach the gates of heaven. Listen, you have the pass. It's like going to Disney and that fast pass thing. You don't have to stop. You don't have to delay. You don't have to wonder. I don't even think I'm going to know I went through the gates. I just, oh, boom! Right? Are you that confident? Are you that mindset? Like, I know I'm sealed. I know I have life of God in me. Like, when it's there, man, I'm gone. And they'll be like, I'm going to be getting in trouble like I always do. They'll be reeling me back saying, you didn't go through the checkout. Right? They'll be pulling me back saying, hey, you got to go through this gate first. Where's your mindset with the life and with Jesus Christ inside of us? It's our spirit. It's our soul. That's immortal and live forever, long after our bodies are dead and gone. In the meantime, we as believers are in the process of renewing our minds, transforming our souls, our will, our emotion, our thinking patterns, so that they line up more and more with our already perfect spirit that's inside of us. And the only way to do that is to learn the truth that is found in the Scriptures, to apply it to our lives, and to be in communication with our Creator. As we align our lives with the truth and we're in communication with the believer, we find ourselves naturally behaving in godly ways and becoming more like Him. It's almost like it's all-inclusive. It's just automatic, but I have to keep my gaze towards heaven. I have to look up towards heaven. He lifted up His eyes and said, "Father, Father." A prayer that is being made to God. It's our duty in prayer to eye Him and to look to Him as the Father, to call Him Father. Because we have that spirit of adoption that we're taught to cry out, "Abba, Father." We have liberty and access to Him. We're grounded in confidence and hopefully in great expectation from Him that we will be used by God through prayer. It's a direction of encouragement to call God as we hope to find Him. Jesus said here, as you go down through John 17, He referred to Him as Holy Father, Righteous Father. When you go to prayer, what do you say? Paul and I went to pray for Karen as we're keeping Karen in our prayers. We're keeping Amy in our prayers as she's traveling. As Paul and I went to pray for Karen the other day in the hospital, we said, "Healing Father, You are the Father, our healer." What words do you use with Father? "You are my," we heard this morning, "loving Father." "You are a peaceful God, a Father that gives me direction and help and strength to carry on." What are you calling God? In Romans 8, we say Father or Abba Father. And on Father's Day, I mentioned that, you know, it seems as though in a family's dynamics that the father's voice is really a loud voice. You hear, in people's lives, a lot of times they'll say that, I grew up with a bad father or this or that. It's because that voice of the father within a household is bold. It's loud. It's what really sticks into children as they're coming up. And so I believe that it's important that we make that separation in our minds that we're talking to Abba Father, our Heavenly Father, because I know for some, in your soul, mind, will, and emotions, it can be a wreck when you just say the word daddy, father, he, or anything. Unfortunately, because of what's happened throughout people's lives, it can be a wreck. So I believe even the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven," it makes that separation of my gaze is upon my Heavenly Father, my loving Father, my peaceful Father. And to help you in your soul make that separation of whatever has happened to you otherwise that's inbred in your feelings and your emotions that the Spirit of God can heal and make better. Romans 8 says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do." You're a born-again believer. Your sinful nature may raise up its head, but you have no obligation to follow after that sinful nature. Why? Because if you do that, this dictates your life and brings about death. But through the power of the Spirit of God, you put to death the deeds of your old sinful nature, and now you will live. Because all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Or those who are moved by the impulses and the nudges of the Holy Spirit are those who live by the Spirit and have that abundance of life inside of them. Verse 15, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you a fearful slave." Fear of never being good enough, or a fear that judgment is always being looked down upon you. That fear of judgment has been removed because with Christ you receive a spirit of acceptance. It says instead you receive God's Spirit when He adopted you as His very own child. A spirit of full acceptance, or a spirit of being a consecrated child, one who dedicates yourself to something that is of more importance, a child who dedicates themselves to something that is of more importance, looking towards heaven. This is more important than all of these things in the world. It's a lot of work. It's not easy being a Christian, is it? It's a mindset. It's something I got to work on myself. It's something I got to, like I think Tyler was saying earlier, you got to get up early in the morning. You got to get that word in. You know, we might get into the presence of the Lord, or we might do our Bible study for 5 minutes, but spend 5 hours that same day going through all these feeds that is everything but. Oh, there might be YouVersion Bible that gets a little scripture in there, or Ziegler says something great, or but all the other trash, the news, the media, the conspiracies, all the other lustful pictures and everything trash that comes up on there. We spend 5 minutes with our gaze towards heaven, maybe 15, 20, but 5 hours of Facebook or Insta, right? Like, where's the gaze? We wonder why we find ourselves so entangled. Now we call him Abba Father because his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are God's children, we are heirs of him. We are a joint heir with Christ. There's nothing in the Bible that can be more amazing than God's grace, his favor. His favor that we become the very royal ones of God Almighty to share in all the things of Jesus Christ. It says, in fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, there's going to be some suffering as well. Of course, there's always good, but there's always the bad that comes with it, right? On Jesus' side, the glory is going to outweigh the bad. I'm not going to say you're not going to suffer, it's not going to be hard, but you can make it through. The glory, the characteristics of God in you can be greater than the suffering in which you face on this earth. Back to John 17. We just got one sentence done there. That Jesus prayed as he looked towards heaven. And Jesus said, Father, the time has come to unveil the glorious splendor of your Son. The time has come to glorify your Son. The Father unveiled the glory of his Son on the cross, by the empty tomb, through his ascension into heaven, and then by the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon his church, you and I. So Jesus goes on to say, unveil the glorious splendor of your Son so that I will magnify your glory, so that your characteristics and you can be seen through me. Oh, Father, you've already given me the authority and the responsibility over all of the people. Why? So that I may give the gift of eternal life to all of those that you have given me. He explains, what does eternal life mean? Eternal life means to know God, to experience the only true God, the God of truth. It is the truth that sets us free. Free from what? Free from everything else. All things. So that my gaze can be upon looking towards heaven of my Heavenly Father. Eternal life means to know and to experience you as the only true God and to know and experience Jesus Christ. I hope you experience Jesus Christ this morning here with his great presence. And that will get into your mind and emotions. Say, that was fantastic. That's what my soul really needed this morning, was to be in that strong presence, love of the Lord. To know and to experience Jesus Christ as the Son whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth, Father, by faithfully doing everything that you have told me. So, Father, restore me back to the glory that we shared together when we were face to face. Remember, Jesus was already with God, right? He says, restore me back to the glory that we shared when we were face to face before the universe was created, before the light of the universe. I just love how the Bible is so intertwined, so completes itself, so confirms itself, so amazing, because that's what Jesus is. In John 1:1, you can probably quote it without even saying it. In the beginning, the Word already existed. Now, who was the Word? Jump to verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace, full of truth, full of that which sets you free, full of favor that you don't deserve upon your mind, will, and emotions. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, the Word, Jesus, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish that light. Well, what does that remind you of in the beginning? Genesis 1:1, right? Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, then went forth the Word of God and said, let there be light. There was light. God saw that the light was good. Then He separated the light from darkness, called the light day and the darkness night. Evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of His only begotten of the Father, which oozes out and is full, overflowing with favor for you and truth for you to set you free and to keep you free. If you think about the scriptures that we've read this morning, how David says, I will lift up my soul in your presence. What does that look like for you and I today? What does that look like? What does that feel like? What is that? If you actually go to, let me do this, Psalms 25. You can read down through there. In verse 4 it says, Psalms 25:4, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, because you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your unfailing love, which you have shown from long ages past. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth, but remember me in the light of your unfailing love, because you are a merciful, steadfast, O Lord. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in doing what is right, teaching them in His way. The Lord leads His unfailing love. The Lord leads with unfailing love and His faithfulness all who keep His covenant and obey His demands. For the honor of your name, O Lord, forgive my many, many sins. Who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them the path they choose. They will live in prosperity. Their children will inherit the land. The Lord is a friend to those who fear Him. He teaches them His covenant. My eyes are always on the Lord, because He rescues me from the traps of my enemies. I believe for us to be like David saying, I will lift up my soul into your presence, that it is during times of worship like we had today. And let me step aside. You don't have to be in church to have that presence. But it is all the greater when we come together as a believers and that presence is here. So we can help one another. We can pray with one another. We can believe with one another. But you can also do this in your own quiet time, in your prayer time. I dare you to say, Father, my hero. You get yourself in alignment with the glory, the characteristics of God when you get into His presence and you lift up your soul. What are you doing? You're lifting up your plan, that which you've organized. You're lifting up your thinking pattern. You're lifting up your communication to Him. You're praying to Him. You're lifting up your anxiousness to Him, or you're just peacefully resting in Him. But I believe as we lift up our soul to heaven, recognize as Father, thank you, Lord. I enter in with thanksgiving. The presence of the Lord is coming. I know you always hear me. I have the confidence to say these things to you. And as I'm in the communication, I'm in prayer with the Lord, the presence of the Lord takes me and my soul, my wound emotions, all that stuff, good and bad, and aligns it with the characteristics of God. That, just think about that a couple minutes. That's so phenomenal. In my prayer time, in my worship time, however you're surrendering, kneeled, heads bowed, eyes closed, hands like this, gazing towards heaven. You can be like this and still recognizing God. It's a gesture. It's a posture that He had for those around Him. I'm going to the Heavenly Father. So you all need to too. If Jesus is, you and I need to too. I come humbly before you. Oh, just bask in your presence. Just, oh, things start to come to your mind. Give it all to Him. Give it all to Him. You have some stench behind the rock. Roll it off. Roll it away and let some Jesus get in the tomb. If you think you don't have any stench, ask your spouse. Ask your friend. They'll help you. But it's not to draw out the bad in you. It's just to stay in alignment with the God of creation. How beautiful is that? If I can align my mind, my will, my emotions daily with the characteristics of God, my life's going to be different. My life's going to be amazing. There's going to be suffering, but the glory outweighs the suffering, He said. But I have to put forth an effort to get out of the boat. I have to put forth an effort to roll that heavy stone away from that stench that I don't even want to deal with. I don't even want to deal with that stench. Father, I thought you forgot about that because I try to every day. Just line it up with Him. Just keep giving it back to Him. Heavenly Father, I thank you. You hear me. I have confidence in you. Take this stinking thing away from me. It may be a daily battle for you. It may be a daily thing. And listen, maybe you don't have no stink. Maybe you just want more of the presence of God to flow in you. The light, the Shekinah glory of God. Because where there is light, there is no darkness. People will recognize you got some light because we're living in a dark world. And they will feel that from you. They will sense that in you. And they will want and desire what you have. As we continue to move forward as a community of Christ, as believers, I want you to feel free that the altars are open when we're in a time of worship. Okay? I may or may not come up and pray with you. It just depends on where my mind is, okay? I'm human like you. I might have something to pray with you or I might not. I might let you alone or I might be all over you. I have no idea. I'm just saying. But feel free. Like Sister Sharon did, a couple of those she did last week, a couple did this week. Feel free to come forward and just bow in the presence of the Lord. Again, like I said earlier, maybe you just want to bow at your seat. Maybe you want to sit down. Maybe you just want to hang out where you are and close your eyes in the presence of the Lord. And receive the alignment of the love and the peace and the empowering of Jesus Christ. That's His desire for you, is for you to rely on Him, to go back to Him and say, hey, Abba Father. The Bible tells us if a child asks us for a sandwich, He's not going to give him a snake, right? A scorpion. If your child asks you, how much more the Heavenly Father, as you come to Him, He's going to recognize you and bless you and get rid of that stench. Father, we thank You for this wonderful day You've blessed us with. Father, we thank You for Your presence that's been in this house today. We exalt You, O Lord. We exalt You. Father, sometimes when Your presence comes into the house, we just get quiet. Because we're just waiting on You. We're just allowing each and every person to think through and align their emotions, their plans, their thoughts, their feelings, their words, their communications, their hurts, their knowing, Father, that You bring assurance and not judgment on one. Knowing that You bring about assurance in our lives and not judgment upon us. That Your love is so great, that Your peace is so great that it passes our understanding. Your peace passes my mind, will, and emotions. It's beyond what I can ever comprehend in the presence of the Lord. Father, we see here that as Lazarus was being raised from the dead, Jesus wept and Jesus was angry, and I believe it was because of unbelief. Lord, we believe, but help our unbelief. Help us to believe more in You, a greater measure in You. Help us, Father, to spend more time focusing towards heaven, looking towards heaven, than we do at Facebook or Instagram or the news feeds or whatever that may be. So that our alignment of our spirits, of our emotions, of our hearts, can be in alignment with Your truth, with Your word, with Your grace. Because that's the plan You have for us. That's the ultimate plan You have for us, to be Your children and to be in alignment with You each and every day. So we read, don't follow after that sinful nature that wants to raise itself up. No. There's new life. There's life and life abundantly. So Father, I stand here before You this morning and Lord, I want to repent. I want to repent and say, Father, help me to stay more in alignment with You. Help me, Father, to look towards heaven, to enter in by saying, thank You, Lord. And help me to have the confident assurance, knowing that You hear me, that You hear each and every one of us. You're thinking like I'm thinking this morning, just by a simple raise His hand, because I think it's important that we acknowledge, if you're thinking like I am, saying, Father, forgive me and help me to be in more alignment with You. Just raise your hand real quick. Raise it up. God sees it. God sees it. Yeah, everybody. Almost everybody in the house. Thank You. Thank You. I believe as we position ourselves before the throne room of God, in the presence of God, and when we ask for forgiveness, we show the humility before the Father, saying, Abba, Father, You are what matters. You are where I lean. It is You, Lord. So many things are pulling me the opposite direction, but Lord, we say this day, forgive us. In this one moment, maybe this is the only moment all week we can actually think this clearly. In this moment, Lord, we're saying we want to align ourselves with You. With Your will, with Your way, with Your spirit. Abba, Father, thank You. Thank You for Your greatness. Thank You in advance. Thank You in advance for the mighty things that You're doing in our lives. Sometimes Your spirit gets inside of us and is doing so many great things, but you can't yet tell on the outside. The body didn't yet show what the Spirit of God is doing on the inside yet. Sometimes the Spirit of God gets inside of us and it's starting to move, but there's no outward expression of our body that yet shows what Jesus Christ is doing on the inside. Thank You, Lord, for working inside this old body You gave me. Thank You, Lord,
for working inside of our spirits and our emotions, our thought patterns. Father, we just pray that you seal all these things up by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to yearn and to long for you. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that's here this morning. Bless them and keep them. May your face and your favor shine upon them. And as we always go on any further out, as the word says, may they even find the favor of man upon their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. Lord bless you.